Hello, respected viewers. I'm George from Ireland. Well, His Gracious Majesty, King Charles III of Canada, delivered his speech from the throne in Ottawa just a couple of hours ago, and it seems to be very well received. Of course, it was written by the Canadian government for him. His Canadian Majesty only ever acts on the advice of his ministers. And when he's in Canada, he's in there as his capacity as the Canadian monarch, not the monarch of Papua New Guinea, or Jamaica, or the Bahamas, or St. Kitts and Nevis, or Antigua, or New Zealand, or Australia, or even the United Kingdom. So he flew over on a Royal Canadian Air Force plane and greeted with maple leaves. The government didn't put any Union flags. Why would they? A few people in the crowd displayed the British colours. So that's it. Now, Canada is free to retain the monarchy, to do away with the monarchy. They have opted to keep the monarchy. And I know there are those who loudly advocate for the abolition thereof. And it may yet come to pass. Right, so there is there invited to Ottawa. And as he pointed out, he's been to Canada 20 times. This is the first time he's been there as the monarch. So this new Prime Minister, Mark Carney, had him there. And it was very well delivered. Now, King Charles, I got many criticisms of him, but he's an effective orator. It's slow, he's in control. It's got the right kairos, enough expression, not overly emotional. It never slips up. I've never, ever heard him mispronounce anything, slur his speech. So got to hand it to him. And my goodness, he's had enough practice. Not particularly loud, because people want to listen to him. So that makes it easy. So less is more. Self-assurance, reserve, pausing, allowing people time to absorb things. So that's what makes him an effectual orator. So, and really, the core of this speech is that Canada is a nation. So this is a polite riposte to Donald J. Trump, who has demanded the absorption of the Dominion of Canada into the United States, becoming 51st state. No Canadian I've ever heard has advocated for that. Canada's a free country. If they want to campaign for that, fine. Nobody would stop them, but nobody wants it. And I don't even know any Americans who've advocated it for it. So there's been good neighbourliness between the two for a century. It's not since the 1860s they've had any significant disagreements. And the USA has had disagreements with just about every other country in the world in that time. So the USA should back off. You've got a good relationship. Why would you ruin it? And then obviously this is grist at the mill for Putin. You can say, well, if you can do it, I can do it. You know, if you're going to threaten your neighbours to invade them, to absorb them on no historical basis of whatsoever, well, then I could do so. Anyway, so I was surprised that His Gracious Majesty didn't speak more French. I mean, previously the monarchs had spoken French right at the beginning and then switched into English. So only 20% of Canadians are native Francophones, but since the formation of Canada, they said there's parity of esteem between the two languages. Got to do everything in both languages. Now, most Anglophone Canadians will say, yeah, I had to learn French at school, but by the age of 18, I didn't know very much. I've forgotten it all. However, all French Canadians can speak English, even if not fluently in all cases. I heard a generation ago, the last of them died, who couldn't speak any English whatsoever. Céline Dion, notably, said until the age of 22, she spoke scarcely any English at all. But then she had intensive lessons. So anyway, Charles III, he quoted the Canadian national anthem, "The True North, Strong and Free," and so on. And I was surprised that right at the beginning he said that this land is the unceded territory of whichever First Nations tribe it was. I forgot what they're called. So he seemed to pronounce it flawlessly. And they wouldn't have said that a few years ago. So they pointed that out. Now, the British monarchy has always honoured the First Nations peoples. Sometimes they'd be given these feather bonnets, being sworn into whatever tribes. Edward VIII was, back when he was Prince of Wales. Remember, the Crown Prince has that title, Prince of Wales. So the King, he said various things about Canada's relationship with its southern neighbour and so forth. So he diplomatically underlined Canadian independence and how there ought to be mutual respect. Obviously, he larded on his affection for Canada. He can't very well say, well, I don't actually like one of these Commonwealth realms. But it's a bit ridiculous to say that he likes them all in equal measure. He can't be there very much. So, well worded, of course. And it was magisterially delivered. So the legislative programme of Mr. Carney was laid out in that speech. There are some obstacles to trade between the provinces, that's going to go there. Affordable accommodation, that is a salient issue in Canadian politics. So policies to address that problem were adumbrated, and so on, to reduce felonies, things that to make my life more affordable, to strengthen military defences and so forth, to boost defence at the border. That's what it was all about. And he was greeted by the royal anthem in Canada, which is God Save the King, as well as the national anthem, which is that one about the true north, strong and free. So obviously the Canadian armed forces were there. Was well received by him. And then his queen was there, Queen Camilla. He referred to her as my wife rather than the queen, but she is the queen consort rather than the queen regnant. Queen consort as there, she is the queen in as much as she's the wife of the king. Queen regnant in as much as she is the sovereign and she's inherited it from her blood family. She's not married into it. So there was Queen Camilla in a rather large hat. Was faintly surprised that the monarch wore a suit. I thought he might wear a military uniform. And then all those medals on his chest. He's got some sort of Order of Canada on his tie. Yeah, I didn't really like the white collars with the blue with the other shirt. Was it different because that's Mohammed Al-Fayed? They say he got those a bad name. Mohammed Fayed, the father of Dodi Fayed, as in Princess Diana's last lover. I've got one of those shirts myself. Well, two of them, actually. But I didn't buy them myself. So well delivered, and no doubt the Prime Minister, Mark Carney, Dr. Carney, as he is, he's got a doctor, doesn't he? Will think this is only helping his government, and of course is not partisan. In the speech on the throne, they don't mention the Liberal Party, the New Democratic Party, the Progressive Conservative Party, Bloc Québécois, the Green Party. It's meant to be delivered impartially, yes, but really it is laying out the bills that the governing party intends to lay before Parliament. And then I saw all what the regalia that the Canadian politicians wear on ceremonial occasions, those sort of ermined robes which are redolent of what's worn in the House of Peers in the United Kingdom. So you saw pomp and pageantry on display, and the sovereign received with the greatest circumstance. So the king may not be around much longer. He's been treated for cancer for over a year. He's 77. Just because his late mother lived to 97, that doesn't guarantee he will reach such an advanced age. And Prince Harry slipped out a couple of weeks ago. His father doesn't have long to go. Although, for a man of his age who's cancer-stricken, Charles does seem to be in robust health. He's not walking very fast, and people can seem to be quite healthy. Even the cancer is very advanced, is metastasized. They can seem to be almost a picture of health almost at the very end. It can suddenly really attack them and kill them. So he may not be in a salubrious estate as he appears. So he might die much sooner than people are expecting. He's been monarch for not even quite 3 years yet. I noticed he took his British security detail with him. He's in Canada. They know him best, the protocol. He knows them best. And so they dealt with that. But, you know, if they had to actually kill someone to save him, that would be a bit of a kerfuffle with Canadian law. I don't know, they've got some immunity or something. All right. Thank you so much for watching. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then any PayPal, georgecallan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.